This is Space Like Adventure, a Sounds Like Adventure actual play all about a ragtag group of misfits overcoming their corporate overlords in the Expanse. Hey there. It's another episode of Sounds Like Adventure. It's me, Jack. Hey, how you going? So thank you so much if you tuned in to episode 1 of season 3 of Sounds Like Adventure, aka Space Like Adventure. The response has just been super overwhelming. We're so thankful to everyone who took the time to take a listen. So from me, from all of us here at Space Like Adventure, thank you so much. All right, so last episode, we introduced you to Shrike, and Shrike seems to have just captured the world's heart at the moment. I know she definitely captured Savines, our space cowboy. But in today's episode, we're going to introduce you to a new character. So let's meet Mo. Mo's Jacob's character, and he used to be a police officer. And to kick this story off, let's start in the past. Rain pounds the pavement in San Francisco. Some say the city never sleeps. But in the hours between 3 a.m. and sunrise, it at least takes a power nap. The darkness is only broken by street lights, brake lights, and neon signs. And on this corner, those lights illuminate a single figure. He wears the blue of a police uniform and a heavy coat to protect him from the rain. Jacob, why don't you introduce us to your character?
So, Morris, or Mo, as he goes by, he's just a bit shy, 6 foot, so he's about 5'11 or so. Sort of piercing blue eyes, dark brown hair, off the middle part. Yeah, but quite a stern-looking figure. Quite a prominent nose, I would say.
So the reason that you're standing in the rain is that the brass sent you here. The station received a tip-off about a break-in at a warehouse, and you're sent to check it out. And where you're standing now, the rain is just coming down in sheets, soaking through your coat, making this night feel just even colder than it actually is. And ahead of you looms this warehouse that you've been sent to take a look at. You can see corrugated metal walls, they're glistening with the rainwater. And, you know, after a time you sort of find yourself at the gate and notice it's slightly ajar.
I have a quick look at the gate to see if it's been, like, pried open or whether it's just ajar.
Yeah, sure. Give me a perception test then on that one.
That will be a 13.
Wonderful. So, yeah, you can definitely spot some subtle signs of forced entry here. You can see scratches on the lock of this gate.
I think I'd stop a sec, do the cop thing, unbuckle the taser or gun at my hip, and just so it's at the ready, cautiously sort of push aside the gate and slide my way in, try to be as quiet as possible.
So the rain's still pretty heavy and puddles start to form around your feet as you approach the door of this warehouse. You don't run into anyone on the way there. The volume of the rain makes it hard to hear anything. And a single light flickers above the entrance to the warehouse. It's sort of casting some eerie shadows in amongst all the raindrops.
I probably can't hear anything because of the rain.
You could try.
I think I would. I think I'd try and sort of, if the door's not open, I'd try and sort of put the head up against it, see if I can hear any movement inside or anything like that. I mean, this place is supposed to be unoccupied, I imagine, so.
Yeah, with that 13 you rolled before, I think that's quite a good perception roll there. So I think you've got a fair bit of information here. So, yeah, you put your ear up to the wall, the door rather, and you can just sort of hear what sounds like an empty warehouse. Like, it's more like you're hearing an absence of sounds rather than a presence of sounds.
I think I'd look to see if there's any other entrances.
Sure. So, yeah, you have a look around and you notice there's, like, windows and things like that, and you're probably looking to see if there's any broken windows, see if anyone's jumped in through that way. and you don't get the impression that anyone's gone through windows. So you think probably the door is your best bet here.
So yeah, I would try to, I'd open the door, but stealthy. Yeah, open the door enough for me to sort of slide in.
Yeah, you push the door open, and as you're pushing it, you feel it sort of starting to creak a little bit. So you pause before you open it fully and sort of just slip through the door. And inside, you're in just a warehouse at this point. You got the scent of like stale air. There's dust. You can see old machinery around. There's sort of like dim light from the lights that are coming from outside, coming through the upper windows that you were looking at before.
Obviously, first protocol, canvas the area. I'd be walking around, obviously trying to look for signs of whatever the disturbance being called in for was.
Yeah, give me another perception here. I think intuition focus applying again.
That will be a 12.
So with the 12, you notice a trail of disturbed dust leading deeper into the warehouse. It strikes you like someone tried to cover their tracks but didn't quite succeed.
I think I'd hold on the trail, follow it. I think at this point as well, I'd pull gun or any protection that I've got on me out at the ready as I sort of stroll up.
So you follow the trail and you find this door that's slightly ajar. There's a lock that is clearly broken on it, and the metal around the lock is scratched and bent.
Can I hear anything inside from out here?
No, you can't hear anything. Even if you put your ear up to the door again and listen, and same thing as before. It's an absence of sounds.
I think Mo would, yeah, hands on protection, use his foot to sort of just push the door further open. And then, yeah, step in.
So you push the door open and you step into this smaller room. And you can see there's rows of crates that are stacked haphazardly around, and some of them have their lids pried partially open. But there's one crate that really catches your eye right away. It's larger, more secure looking, and there's a heavy-duty lock on it that you think has been picked.
Still keeping an eye on the room, I'd lift the crate to see what is in them. Probably a couple of the crates. Just, yeah, wanting to see why this was such an important call out.
So, yeah, you come in, you're like doors and corners, you're checking around the room to see if there's anyone in there. You clear the room, there's no one there. It's clear whatever happened here, the person has hightailed it out of here. You open up some of the other boxes, the ones that didn't sort of draw your attention. You find just sort of like standard warehousey stuff, like, you know, tools and packing material, all that kind of stuff. And then you approach the different looking box and you notice there's like a faint glow of a digital display on the side, and it's still powered, and you think it's possibly containing something valuable. You know the lock's been picked though, so you know you can just open it up, and the sign that it's still powered is probably a good sign that it's going to open.
Okay, yeah, I think I would. Curiosity killed the cat. He'd want to know what's in there.
So you look at the little display, there's like a little jailbreak icon on it, and you like tap the button and it just like pops open. It's like a hydraulic sound. And inside you find just an array of high-tech equipment, stuff that you don't recognize, stuff that shouldn't be here, stuff that screams to you like high, high-level theft. And among those items, you spot like a small device that looks really out of place. It's like sleek and it's like sophisticated and unlike all of the bulkier equipment around it. And on the side of it, it says Opal. And a chill runs down your spine. And it's several days later and you're in the office of your boss at the station, Chief Isaac Miranda. You can hear the hustle and the bustle of the station, and it's muted behind the door of the office. He fires you. Something about improper practice, not following protocol. He seems sorry. You turn in your badge, you turn in your gun, and the rest is a haze the colour of whiskey. Days pass, weeks, years. You try to forget everything you knew about yourself. You leave Earth, you take all kinds of odd jobs, but there's one thing that you can't forget. One word. Opal. So several years pass, and you find yourself surviving on Tycho Station, but you don't really know for how much longer. You've burned every bridge that you've crossed, and you've spent every penny that you have. And right now you're sitting in your second home, or really maybe it's at the moment it's your first home. It's called the Gravity Well, and it's a dive bar that's close to the spin on the center ring of Tycho Station. And due to it being so close to the spin, gravity's a bit higher here, basically. So tends to be frequented by people from the inner planets rather than belters. And, you know, it's not that you like don't like belters. It's just you've been kicked out of all the fun belter spots. And this is the last place that you're, like, you know, somewhat welcome. So, Jacob, yeah, several years have passed since your time on the Force. What does Mo look like now?
Yeah, his hair's a bit longer, scragglier, down towards his chin now, like lengthwise. He definitely looks like the person that's given up. He doesn't take care of himself anymore. He's presentable enough to, like, go out in public, but beyond that, he doesn't care, I don't think.
So your drink sits there, half finished in front of you, the ice long melted. Just evidence of how long you've been sitting there. And you have literally spent the last money that you have on this drink that is sitting there right in front of you right now. You have nowhere to go. The room that you have been staying in, you don't have money. The door won't open if you go back there, basically. What's going through your mind at this point?
Do I have anything of value in that room, do you think?
Anything that you have, you would be holding on your person, basically.
I imagine that he'd wave the bartender over. And I imagine he frequents this place probably enough that he would know them and things like that.
It's Jeff, the bartender. He gives you a nod.
Jeff, I'm down to my last dime here. You don't have any dishes I can wash or anything like that? Just one more for tonight.
You've been on your last dime for a while now, mate. All right, look, I'll give you one more after this, but look, you're going to have to find your own way after that, all right, mate? Sorry. And he tops your drink off in front of you.
Okay. I imagine that he... Yeah, I would punch back, like, half of that how much he put in, like, almost immediately.
Put it back out for more?
Yeah, I would. I'd proffer it out for more, and then...
He begrudgingly pours you some more, and he's just like, look, mate, come on. It's all right. Look, I get it. It's okay. Look, I'll give you a bit more, but this is the last one, all right?
Yeah, Mo sits at this point. Rather, he's going to stay for this, but he's not pushing his luck. He doesn't want to upset. And he's like, Jeff, what would you suggest for a man down on his luck? Where do you send the poor souls?
Just sort of like gives you he just shakes his head at you, doesn't have anything to say, just keeps cleaning his glasses, just like, good luck, mate.
I imagine that Mo's pretty wasted at this point. And he sort of like looks around at the bar, like spins on his little stool, looks around the bar, and he's like, any of you, where would you tell a man out of luck to go? As he's like half passing out at the bar.
So as you do that, someone claps a hand on your shoulder, and it's a familiar sight. It is Savine who comes in. You've drunk with this guy a few times. He's a regular at the bar. The last you heard, he was about to start this multi-month-long journey on an ice hauler, and he must have just got back because you haven't seen him at all, and he's a regular here.
So he slaps you on the shoulder and he goes, rough night.
Aren't they all?
Seems like, for you, lately, a lot of rough nights. What's going on, Mo? What's happened?
Look, a man can't be down once in a while.
Once in a while? Once in a every while.
A while is a long time.
What the hell happened to you, Mo? Well, I've been talking to you for a while now. You never tell me.
The world's out to get me. I did nothing wrong. It was an inside thing. It wasn't me. I can tell you that much. It wasn't me.
Yeah, I know how that is. You say you used to be a cop? Used to be a copper?
I was one of the best.
One of the best.
One of the best.
Back Earthside, yeah?
Earthside, where my feet stuck to the ground.
Now you're out here, among the stars, like an eagle.
Feet only stick to the ground if I make them here. It's unnatural, I tell you. Unnatural.
Look, Mo, I've been thinking. You've been down and out too long, my friend. And there's an opening on the hollow. Security officer, it's Bastion. It takes a pause and sort of heavily. His damn idiot got in the way of a chunk of ice. We'll be scrubbing that fool off the deck for months. But look, spot's open. What do you say? I ain't think you got nowhere to go.
Didn't I just say that my feet not sticking to the ground was a problem? And I feel like it's worse on that ship.
You ain't gonna be sticking nowhere if you don't take this job. Where you gonna go? Where you gonna go, Mo? They gonna let you back in that hole? I don't think so.
I think that, like, ticks to Mo's mind that, like, he doesn't have enough money for a room tonight or anything. Is money?
Yeah, money, a bed, a life.
Can I drink?
Hell yeah, you could drink. What the hell? I look like a nun?
Jeff, get a drink for me and Sabine here.
Look, get a drink for me, Jeff, all right? This man, cut this fool off.
I imagine that, yeah, like, and Jeff knows that Mo can't pay anymore anyway.
He's well aware.
So he was never going to give it to Mo.
Yeah, you pour Savine a drink.
What would I be doing on this ship?
Security officer, you know? Yeah, help out with problems. If people, you know how it is. It's like cop on a ship. You know how to be a cop. People get in trouble. It's like our own little society out there, you know? We need a sheriff. Can you be my sheriff, Mo?
That's one thing I can do. I can be a sheriff.
Sticks his hand out.
Mo goes to see how he's... Yeah, and then shakes his hand. Like, doesn't quite pop up, but that was close.
He grasps your hand really strongly, pulls you in, looks in your eyes, and he goes, all right then, Mo, welcome aboard.
Glad to be aboard. And then he, like, collapses onto the bar. Like, he's held it out just to, yeah, just long enough.
Somebody get a map. And there you go. It's another one in the books. Episode 2 of Season 3. It's Space Like Adventure. Our buddy Savine, the space cowboy, he shows up again, saves another wayward soul. Hey, will he show up next week? Well, you'll have to find out when you tune into Episode 3 of Space Like Adventure. I'm going to be joined by Arlo's character next week. His name's Flint. I think you're going to like him a lot. But hey, to make sure you don't miss that episode, head over to the podcast app that you're listening to this on right now, subscribe to or follow the show. And hey, while you're there, we would really love if you took the time to leave a 5-star review. That stuff is so, so helpful for the show. And we just love reading them. So we really appreciate it. And if you take the time to do it, thank you. But hey, in the meantime,
I'll catch you in the next episode of Space Like Adventure.